I was just reading in the Gordon West guide there, one of the questions for the general is that the RF can heat up your skin.
Well, the, you know, funny enough, we're talking about eyeglasses. The eyes are the most receptive tissue to radiation and damage. So it's that was one of the things. And when I took my test in like 95, it was like a subject was if you know if your eyes start hurting suddenly while you're using the radio, you should shut it off because maybe something isn't shielded properly.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was down in Jersey City, the police department had their walkie-talkies had an antenna, a short UHF antenna sticking out the top of the microphone, and there was a complaint because the union picked up that talking into that with that little short microphone right in front of your eyes is not good, that it could be allowing for UF radiation to go through your eye socket and into your brain. So I guess there's a lot to that.
I'm thinking of getting the common antenna, Bill. Not the one you have, but there's three versions of that antenna, each progressively larger or smaller depending on which way you're going. I'm thinking of getting the middle size.
Oh, that's good. Like I said, I have been getting excellent performance from that, and I think the big telling one was when I was up at West Point and talking to Rocky and all, because I had tried that shout before with the other antenna and couldn't make it to where they could just they knew I was talking, but that was it, and this one was working well.
Tilt-over feature that often.
What was that? Do I use the tilt-over feature?
I'm guessing if you don't pull your car in the garage, you don't use it that often.
I used it the other day. I went down to the doctor's office. I had to tilt it to go in an underground parking thing. But where the antenna is mounted, it still keeps it within the width of the truck. So I just pick it up and fold it down. And by the way, Rocky, my weatherproof cap came, and I did load that antenna connection with grease, and it's a good thing you did. The other day when I told you you were sounding crackly and all that stuff, I had water in that connection from when I parked at the airport and took the antenna off.
Yeah, very good. That's why I gave it to you. I got both of my K400C mounts loaded up with that dielectric grease. It works real well.
Charlie, what was your concern about the fold-over feature?
Well, I find that to be one of the weak spots on antennas. Especially somebody like me, I fold it over at least once a day when I go in the garage at the end of the day. So, I just was curious how mechanically sound it feels to you. You just pull up on the antenna. It's spring-loaded.
Yeah, but this one has that, like a locking nut. I don't know if yours had that, too, where you it screws down with, like a knurled knob, locks it in place when it's down, when it's up, rather, when the antenna's in normal position.
N1LU Mobile. Funny you say that. One of my diamond antennas that I had, it was a tri-bander. I still have it, actually. Had that feature. When I go to, to tilt the antenna, I have to unscrew this knurled nut or whatever. It's a cylinder. And it's threaded on the inside and it screws down. I unscrew that and then tilt the antenna over. None of the other ones had that. And I found that to be the best. The spring-loaded ones, after a while, doing it every single day, the spring either loses its tension or ends up breaking on you, not to mention the bouncing around on the car. But when you have that, I don't think that has a spring in it. I think that knurled knob, that you know, that tightens down. I think that holds it in place. When you take that nut off, all you have to do is tilt it over. You don't have to pull up on it, right?
No, you still pull up on it. I think there is still a spring in it, but that neural knob really stiffens that thing up when you put it back in place and tighten it down.
The gas keeps falling. Now it's $3.29 over here, and this isn't even the cheap guy. It was $3.33 earlier in the week when I got it. Okay, that's cool. That's good to know. I like that feature. Yeah, I'm going to just try to find out. So far, the cheapest place that has it is Cheap Ham. They have the middle version for $73.
Yeah, I got mine from there for, I think it was $99 for the full-length one.
Yeah, you know, I would try the full-length one, but that's about 20, 21 or 22 inches taller than the one that I have. I don't know if that's going to get unwieldy. The other one is only about 11 inches longer than the one that I have, so that should be fine. Give me a little bit more gain. I don't know if it'll make much difference.
Yeah, I think it's a real good antenna. So far your antenna suggestions have worked out well for me. Over to you, Rock. How you doing?
Just gonna break in and say I was gonna go get cleaned up and go to the mobile, so I'll catch you guys from there. Over to you, Steve, 82 BOR.
Okay, Rock, I'll say 73 to you, because I might not be here when you get back. Bill, quick question. When you were up at West Point, did they have the Eagle there?
WI2LYP. Eagle. I'm not quite sure what you're talking about. I just went to the commissary.
They have an old sailing ship there that they train on, practice.
Oh, not sure. I'm not sure about that. The only thing I saw was they were practicing skydiving out of a helicopter, about eight at a time.
That's pretty cool. I've seen a few air shows where they've had parachute guys doing things. There's the Golden Knights, I believe, was one of them. Can't remember the other group. But, yeah, I was wondering, because when I was up there years ago, it was out. They took it someplace for some kind of event, and I never got to see it. So, I love those old ships, like you see at like Mystic Seaport and stuff. I'm a big fan of history, so I like to see those things. But all right, I'm gonna say 73. I can barely keep my eyes open here. And good hearing you, Bill. And KD2, Rocky 73, Charlie N1LU KB2TIA.
Take care, Steve, 73. Have a nice weekend. Over to you, Bill.
73, Steve. Always good to hear you in there. And I'm still looking at your Kids Day card here. First one I ever got.
Well, I'm glad you like it. I heard a station on 40, European, and he was talking about that he was going to have his kids on that evening. They were going to be operating. So, I had to go to work. Anyway, 73 to everybody. KB2TIA.
N1LU, WI2LYP. Charlie, you almost at work?
Yeah, I'm sitting in my spot now.
That's pretty cool. I got you full meter on the reverse now in your spot.
Really? Yeah, I got you about an S3, but solid.
I got the antenna is pointed at 270 degrees, so I don't know if it's off a few degrees, but yesterday when you and Rocky were talking, I was moving it back and forth, and I got the most solid spot right there, so that's, I marked it down. But in any case, so this tonight is, well, I guess it's morning for you. This morning, this is it. This is your Friday trip, and then you're off till what, Sunday night?
I'd like to look at it as Sunday morning. I mean, Sunday morning. God forbid. Monday morning. I get all of Sunday at home. I get up at 1 in the morning, which is Monday morning. So, yeah, this is it for me. And hopefully it'll be an early day. You know, get out of here by definitely before noon, hopefully by like 11:45, which isn't too bad. It's, you know, it's nice to be able to leave that early.
WI2LYP. Yeah, that's kind of a strange schedule. Yeah, I think of it as Sunday night, but I can see where it's Monday morning. But pretty cool, pretty cool. How long you been doing this this schedule?
Geez, I'd say about 20 years. I've been here 24, actually 25 years, but I've been doing this schedule probably for 20 years.
Ah, that must take a lot of getting used to. I know when I was working in the firehouse, it was changing from day shift to night shift, and a couple of days later back on night shift to day shift was rough. And then 1984, I think it was, we went on the 24-hour shift, so the shift always started at 8 a.m. and finished 8 a.m. the next day. But we used to do two day shifts. That was 8 to 6, then be off for 2 days, and do two night shifts, which was 6 to 8 in the morning. And that was rough, especially if you caught some fires, which we did in those days.
Sorry about that. Every time I turn off my car, my phone starts to play music. I've got it synced with my Bluetooth, but I can't figure out how to unsync it, so it doesn't do that. So whenever I turn off the car, my phone starts to play music, and then I got to go in there and turn it off. Yeah, you know what? Even after all those years, it's, I still not used to it. I mean, I tolerate it. I get through it, but when that clock goes off in the morning, the last thing I want to do is get out of bed.
Yeah, I could just imagine. Rocky's got some screwed up hours, too, but I guess he just adjusted to that. That working overnight is, well, I guess it's quiet overnight. You don't have people, the phone ringing and people bothering you, things like that. Maybe a little ham radio bothering you, but that's about it.
Yeah, the human body's not meant to get up this time of the morning, so it's tough. Just this morning, I battled to get out of bed. Finally, I keep hitting the snooze. Finally, I turned the clock off. Once I turn the clock off, my feet have to go on the floor. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it to work. So I put my feet on the floor, and I'm sitting there with my hands on my knees, and just trying to muster the energy to stand up.
You're in the club.
Yeah, it's tough. The last thing I want to do is get motivated at 1 in the morning.
I don't think I ever used the snooze button ever. I think I would just go back to sleep if that was the case.
Did you pay for gas this morning, Joe, or what did you say?
No, I didn't buy any this morning. It was $3.29.
The lowest I've seen so far this morning, $3.27 in North Arlington.
Don't mind me. I finally got the manual. Now I'm trying to get it oriented on my phone the right way so I can read the freaking thing. What price did you say?
$3.27.9.
That's pretty good. I wish I could use some today, but I just filled up the other day.
82 BOR for ID. What's the gas up by where you live, Bill?
I got gas the other day. It was $3.41. You know what? As as you get closer to the New York line, the price goes up because all the New Yorkers from Rockland County come down and gas up. So as you get closer up there, the price goes up. I think they gouge them a little bit.
Yeah, I think Don was saying the same thing where he lives. He's close up to New York there also.
Yeah, Norwood is about two towns over east of me, and it's the same thing up there. You go up there, the gas is higher than if you go further south in the county, or even over on Route 17 in Paramusol, you can get better prices on gas. What I do is if I'm out and I'm on like Route 17, I'm down to a quarter, I'll fill up. If not, I don't go searching around. I go to the same station all the time. And one of the reasons was the guys at that station were very, very tolerant during the hurricane with me filling my gas can. So I was thankful for that.
Yeah, the way some of these vehicles, like yours and mine, the way it sucks up gas, it doesn't pay to try and save 2-3 cents a gallon because you just use that riding around.
Ain't that the truth. Charlie, have you been getting any readings on your actual mileage other than the estimated one on the dashboard?
No, I haven't. The next time I fill up, I think I'll check, though.
I still check mine pretty routinely. I hit each time I gas up, I hit the trip odometer, so a lot of times I can tell better by that than the gas gauge if I'm needing gas or not. And when I get up to 300, I know I need gas.
Yeah, I don't do that. I just, I go by the gas gauge. I try not to let it get too far below half. I very rarely let it get down to a quarter, because I know they tell you you start sucking up all the sludge from the bottom. Now, I don't know how much sludge I got in the new car, but you never know what's in these gas pumps that they're pumping into your vehicle.
Yeah, that's true. What's your opinion on that, Rock, as far as letting the gas go down? I think the pump is pumping from the same place in the tank anyway.
So it doesn't matter anymore. It picks up right off to the bottom of the tank, and we don't have the problems with sludge and stuff. I do a lot of fuel pumps that are mounted inside the gas tank, and today these tanks, everybody's got newer tanks. They're fiberglass. Charlie, I just saw 325.9. The tanks are fiberglass. They don't get the rust in them. They have the filtration systems on the pump, so myself, taking gas tanks down and looking inside the tanks, you don't find that stuff like you did years ago.
That's pretty cool. One of the strangest things I ever had to troubleshoot was I had a Toyota pickup truck, and I'd be driving along strong, and all of a sudden, the truck would just dead out stall, and I'd coast to a stop, I'd get over to the side, it would start right back up, and then it was fine. So I didn't know what the hell it was. I went crazy. I tried everything. I changed the electric fuel pump. I changed everything. Finally, I talked to a guy in the Toyota service, and he said he had a similar circumstance that apparently the kid put some leaves down in the fuel fill. Of course, this was before they had the tiny little fill. So I said, all right, as a last chance, I drained the fuel tank the best I could, and I took the fuel tank down. I'm looking and look clean. At the very last moment, there was about a half inch of gas down there. I moved the tank, and what floated by but the cardboard top from a dry gas container. I used to religiously put dry gas in there. Apparently, the cardboard thing from the cap went into the tank. I took that out, and it never had the problem again.
Only you could be so lucky to have that thing fall into your tank.
Yeah, you're right. Only I could be so lucky that when I was sloshing it around and I'm looking through the inspection hole, that thing just happened to float by. I was ready to put the tank back up again.
Yeah, I'm on Orient Way in Lyndhurst right now. I just checked you on the reverse. Very readable about an S5 in my truck here, Bill.
That's good. I got you at about a 3. I have the beam pointed in that direction. I don't know if you heard me tell Charlie. When you were talking the other night, I moved it back and forth, and I kind of got it pointed in one direction now where I get the voltages at pretty good readings. I get Charlie full scale.
Yeah, I heard you telling Charlie that. I was just getting making my way up the Kearney Avenue. When I turned the corner by my shop, I get a little picket fencing in the receive. So, I just wait till I get up at Kearney Avenue before I transmit.
N1LU. Got the whole 208 manual on my phone. But for some reason, when I get like to the fourth page, it just shuts off and goes back to the main menu of the phone. I can't read the whole damn thing.
All right, don't go crazy with it, Chomp. You find it, you find it. I gotta go in the garage. I got Bill's radio all packed back up in the box, and I'm gonna grab the manual out of the 208 box and bring that to work with me, because I'm not too busy today so far. I'm just gonna start looking through it, but I don't really see myself programming anything into it in the near future, because you've got a lot of stuff in that radio.
Yeah, that should hold you for a while.
What do I talk on most of the time? I'm going to talk on this repeater when I'm at her house.
Yeah. Yeah. The repeaters you're going to use are already in there.
I'm thinking about seeing if they have another one of those speakers in the local warehouse today, because that old CB, that speaker I'm using, I think it tends to be a little scratchy. Put the mic down. I just passed the cop. I want to put the mic down. Yeah, I'm going to see if they have another one, because I like it, because it's smaller.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It'll fit perfectly here in the car.
Wasn't bad for the money, Charlie. I thought I paid more for that speaker, but, you know, that was not bad for the money at all.
Oh, it's got a nice sound to it.
You know, Rocky, I was just thinking, when I went to auto mech school up at Bergen Tech, if you went and asked the teacher a question about something you were working on in the shop, he'd tell you, RTFM, read that foolish manual. He made you go find a book on it, look it up. So that's what you're going to have to do, RTFM, look up all that stuff on the radio.
Did the F really stand for foolish?
Well, in school, he used to say, RTFM, read that foolish manual, and he would drag out the foolish, so, yeah, it stood for that.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
That's what my boss did to me in Francis Chevrolet back in 1970 when I first got moved into the repair shop. He says, just what you said, Bill.
Yeah, the only thing was back in those days, you know, the manuals were written in English. Now you have some guy who's Chinese trying to translate into English what he means, and half of it don't make any sense, at least with the Anytone and the Bofang was the worst. If you try to go by the manual, you might as well shoot yourself. I saw some YouTube videos on programming, and I became an expert at it.
Well, I told you my cheat sheet for the 78 and 79 works great. I got the Elinco pretty well down pat. My THF6, not even an issue. But I looked in that book on this Kenwood, on the ICOM. I said, oh my God.
I have the cheat sheet folded up in the front of my 7800 manual.
I can put a frequency in this radio like nothing with that sheet. It takes me 2 minutes with the cheat sheet.
I made one up the Bullfang. I had handwritten it first, and then I put the steps down and typed it up, so I have that inside my manual there too.
Might have to bring that icon down to my shop one day when Charlie stops and get him to put the Hoboken repeater in for me, because I'm not even going to try right now.
Looking at a picture of that radio, there's a button on the front panel. It says MONI and DTMF. The on the lower front panel, all the way to the right. That's the monitor button. That's the reverse button. You either press that button, or you might have to press a function button first. But take a look at that when you go home. When you go to your girlfriend's house, check that button out. It says MONI. The button's on the bottom, all the way to the right.
Okay, very good. That might be it, because that's what the Alenco has got. You saw that on the microphone the other day.
Yeah, that may be it. Check that out. The only way I can do it is looking at the radio. Once I look at the radio, things come to me. When you program in a frequency, you have to go in VFO, which is the first button. You press that until you're in VFO. Then you bring up the frequency, and then you have to hit the set lock button, which is above the big round band button. See, if I'm looking at the radio, it all comes back to me. But the manual, I just can't seem to download. I'll try to download it at the house, maybe print it out, and then I'll have a copy of the manual as well.
Okay, very good. That sounds a little different. I'll get used to it one of these days.
Yeah, you'll use the set lock button a lot. That's the button you press. Then you go into the sub-menu where you put PLs in and things. You can change frequency steps. You can do an alpha tag. You can actually name those frequencies. You can change the color of the front panel. That's the button you use for that.
Yeah, I like the book back to work with me this morning and scan through it and see if I can just retain some of the information that's in it. Over to you, Bill, KD2BOR.
Yeah, Rock, you can make up a cheat sheet on the on that, and then put it in like number 24 font and hang it on the wall in case you forget your glasses. You could see what it says. I heard you guys talking about glasses earlier. Boy, I got my first glasses when I was 50, and then I graduated to bifocals, and without them, I'm lost.
I have no problem driving. Sometimes a little when it's dark, but I just need them at the shop. It's impossible. I can't do anything without glasses.
Well, it was funny. When I first got glasses and got it on my driver's license, I had taken a test for the CDL, you know, so I passed the test, and I go up and the girl says, okay, look in the viewer there and tell me what you see. So I said, you know, like A, B, C. And she says, yeah, anything else? I looked again. I says, A, B, C. She said, do you wear glasses? I said, not once in a while. She said, put your glasses on. I put them on. I said, oh, A, B, C, D. She says, now you'll wear the glasses whenever you drive. So that was it. That's what wound up on my driver's license.
Yeah, Bill, when you got your CDL, your endorsement, did you, for the fire department, did you have to get hazmat or anything like that?
No, I just got the heavy truck and air brake. And the reason why I got it, firemen are exempt in New Jersey when you're doing driving fire trucks, but when I go to the factory to inspect new fire trucks, I always do a road test, and I'm out on the road, you know, doing top speed, doing braking tests, doing acceleration tests, all that stuff, with no CDL. So then I went and took the test. I got the CDL, so I'm good in all 50 states.
Yeah, that's good. It's always good to have. Back in my earlier days of mechanical work, I could have got the articulate, whatever they call it, and then you got grandfathered in on the CDL. My brother did that, and his test just considered stuff about air brake, and that was it.
Well, the funny thing, when I went for the went for my CDL test, I couldn't take a spare fire truck from Jersey City because it had no license plates. In New Jersey, Title 39 exempts fire trucks from having to have license plates, so none of the Jersey City rigs had them. I wound up taking a brown dump truck from the Department of Public Works and took that up to Lodi and took my test. I had an articulating license, too. It was grandfathered in when they first passed that from driving the hook and ladders.
Oh, okay, very good. Then you know what I'm talking about. Let's see if Charlie's still on there. N1LU, KD2BOR.
KD2BOR, WI2LYP, N1LU. Yeah, I'm gonna close up shop and head inside. Get this day underway. Besides, I need a freaking cup of coffee bad. Good hearing you guys today, Bill. Nice talking to you. Rocky, always a pleasure. I'll figure out what day next week to come by. And get that speaker. That'll be cool. Guys, have a nice weekend. Let me get going. Get this day going. Get the hell out of here. Start my weekend. I don't know if it's going to be a great one, but at least I don't have to work. 73, everybody. This is N1LU. I'll be clear on your finals. Bill, over to you.
Okay, Charlie. Always a pleasure chatting with you, too, as well. N1LU, WI2LYP. Lily Peace of 73 is have a good day, and maybe we'll catch you on the way home.
73, Charlie, have a good day. 82, be aware.
Take care, guys. N1LU, Claire.
Hey, Rock, CDL came in handy on 9/11. I wound up driving a fire truck back from Wisconsin when they grounded all the flights. I don't know if I ever told you that one.
No, you didn't. Oh, my God. Why did you have to... Oh, you were driving a new fire truck back?
Yeah, I was up in Appleton, Wisconsin, inspecting a new fire truck for Jersey City. You know, I wrote this... I would go up there, and we would do a pre-construction conference where you sit down with them, tell them what you want, and then you go up for a final inspection and road test and all that stuff. Well, we were up there when the Trade Center got hit, and all the flights are grounded, so the guy was with the salesman said, well, I guess we're going to be here for a while. And I said, well, you got a CDL, and I got a CDL, and we got a truck out there, and 1,000 miles back driving that thing. And it was governed at 58 miles an hour, so it was no fun coming across Route 80 at 58 miles an hour.
Yeah, I guess not, but that whole time there with 9/11, I guess it was no fun whatsoever with anything.
Yeah, that's for sure. We had the chief that grabbed another battalion chief in headquarters and sent him over there to find out what they needed because, you know, you couldn't get anybody on the phone or the radio. So he sent them over there, and it's a good thing I wasn't in my place at headquarters because, as you could tell, I'm built for comfort, not speed. So when the buildings came down, I probably would have been buried with them because those guys ran for about 6 blocks before the cloud caught up with them.
Shame, Bill. That day, I seen it come across the TV that the building was hit, the first one, and you could see the smoke right from in front of my shop, clear as day, and I actually saw the flash from my front of my shop when the second one got hit.
Yeah, actually, I was on the phone with my wife. She had called me up there on the cell phone and said, you know, what's going on? And, of course, I didn't know. We're up in Wisconsin. There's no TV or anything in the factory. And she said, you know, Trade Center got hit. It was a plane, yada, yada, yada. And then while we were talking, she said, oh, my God, a big plane just hit the second tower. And I says, oh, this isn't good. This sounds like a lot more serious than just some kind of an accident. And certainly it was. But, yeah, it was quite an adventure. We had to have a log book, you know, and fill out a log book, how many hours you drove, how many hours you rested, how many hours you were in the other seat, was amazing. I still have that logbook someplace here.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are truck drivers, and they tell me about that. Okay, Bill, I'm at my destination. Let me say 73. They will catch you out there later on today. WI2LYP, KD2BOR.
Okay, Rock, I'll be at my destination about 30 seconds, which is going to be back in bed. KD2POR, WI2LYP, Willie P says 73s. I'm sure I'll catch you on there later. Take care, Rock. Have a good day.
73.
Thank you. At some point, I want to
to get a VHF one and a 900 Spectra. Just make myself a nice little stack of radios, possibly with by remoting the head too. There's a lot of repeaters I use, and they have plenty of capacity. But there's in most cases I've got a relatively compact channel requirement, except when I'm traveling, in which case I love having frequency agility and being able to easily program on the fly, offsets and of course PL. So anyway, I'm going to shoot toward home, so I'll be here for a while, and I think I'm going to bring my wife home breakfast. I think she'd like that. Then I got to get to work. I have a 9 o'clock conference call that I have to be alive, awake, and enthusiastic for. Over.
Thank you, SL. A Spectra. I'm not really sure. Is that a Motorola radio? I'm assuming it's a mobile. I'm just using a little Yaesu VX6, and I'm in the car, so I don't know how I'm holding the machine now. Just got it this week, so I figured I'd try it out. I'm using on a Motorola portable myself, but bring the wife breakfast. It's very nice. I'm sure my wife would love it if I did that too.
Well, I'm fortunate in that, with certain sensibilities being observed, my wife is very tolerant of having ham radio in her car. In fact, she wants ham radio in her car. She probably has the nicest ham rig that we have in the house in her car. She's got an Anytone dual bander, which looks amazingly like something like an Olenko or a Yaesu. But although the QSD review of it was cranky at best, I don't know what that guy was thinking. But anyway, bottom line is that it's a flat radio, works well enough, and has a remote head, and so we're able to find a spot on her dash where we can place it without getting too much out of sorts with other controls, and works very well. Your VX6 sounds fine. That last transmission was much better than the prior one, just from a RF reach viewpoint, but your audio sounds great. And it's got that Vertex audio, not too processed like ICOM, not too not quite as even as a Kenwood, but almost like a Kenwood. So I think you've got a winner there. And having I'm personally not a Vertex handy talky guy. I prefer the ICOM and Kenwood human factors. I'll tolerate a Linco, but it's fine. It's all good. My Kenwood HDs and Chinese HDs are what I have the most of at this point. I don't think I have an ICOM HD anymore. I got out of the D-Star, redirected those assets to mesh networking stuff. So back to you.
Okay. Off the mobile radio, a little feedback. Yeah, that's what I have, the HDHDs. A few of those, and I have the Motorola HD. And then, of course, the Kenwood mobile. I've got a few other HDs, I don't remember, but some older ones too. That's it, though. But yeah, I'm glad the audio's working well, and very good. I'm somewhat familiar. Oh, and I do have some machines, I don't know what to call it. The new dual band one, UV5B, UVB5, whatever. And it's nice. I usually just to listen most.
Yeah, I have an Ushan. Whatever is the one, not the three or the five. Not the three or the six, I mean. That works pretty well. I also have a bunch of Bialfongs. they're kind of nice to have too. The outbound radios are definitely winners in my book. But you know, like anything else, you have to think it through as to what you want, how you want it, blah 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 blah. But anyway, you know, a little bit of a sun in my eyes case coming down 208, but not too bad. Traffic is just rolling along. I like the Chinese radios as what are called beater radios. You beat them up and don't care, it's fine. We do have a couple of THF6s in the house, and although I got to spend some time and check the batteries on some of them to make sure I have functional radios and batteries. I know I have at least two functional radios and probably two dysfunctional radios. And they're pretty marvelous. I definitely like them. One of the Kenwoods I have, THF6s, the antenna jack broke off, and I'd never seen that before, so I have to disassemble it, figure out what the assembly is I need to order, and probably use that as an opportunity to buy whatever other replacement parts I want for my other Kenwoods, THF6s, and make a parts order, so that way I don't get slammed for minimum parts order from East Coast Parts. But I know like some of them could use the new rubber pad for the keypad, stuff like that, so it's all good. So back to you, and how's my signal, Chris?
All right, W2TTT, KBT, BBY, good, sound fine, Gordon. Yeah, I had a Kenwood THF7, I think, HT, was it? Is that the dual band one? It's not a long HT. I had that years ago, and I really like that one. I've considered buying it again on eBay if I can find it. And that was a really, really, really nice radio. One of my first, actually. THF7. I think that's the model number.
Okay, the THF6 and the THF7 are essentially the same radio. They're flashed differently for different markets. In the United States, Canada, Mexico, they sell the 6. Actually, I think in the Western Hemisphere they sell the 6. In Europe and Asia they sell the 7, but it's with a few quirks. It's the same radio.
Okay. So now I'm wondering how I got the 7. Then I don't know. So maybe I've got the number wrong, but it was a dual band Kenwood, and wow, I got it. It's got to be over 10 years ago. Yeah, very, very nice radio. And I've seen them selling on eBay, but still even around $100, so they're not as cheap as you would think. I thought about this one for my little HT collection. And yeah, as far as the Yaesu VX6, I had this. I had a, not this one, as I said, I just got this week, but I had a VX6 for a couple of years, and I sold it to buy something else, I'm sure. And it was one of the radios that I really missed, and I kind of kicked myself, and I had to buy one again.
Well, if you're comfortable with it, then that's half the battle, right? So that's a good thing. As far as the 6 and the 7 concern is, the manual printed the name of the name of both radio models on the front of the manual. They had a common manual. You know, the big thing difference is the use of tone burst versus PL. I mean, both radios will do both, but I think one defaults to one, but defaults to the other. What the frequency coverage is only 2 megahertz on the 7, where it's 4 on the 6, you know, because a lot of part of the world, they only have 144 to 146 coverage. The default frequencies come up differently when you reset the radio. You know, things like that. I think the weather for channels come up a little differently. Little things like that are probably what are the big differences. And the like. So, you know, it's that's the big deal. Now, that's a tri-band radio, 2 to 2440. It'll receive on 900. It receives fairly well on 900 too, by the way, considering. So I've copied Bill's repeaters as I've gone by on 900. It also receives on 6 meters, and that works actually pretty well as well. So you can do some pretty interesting things with that. So that is, therein lies the scoop, as it were.
Yeah, QSL. Yeah, no, the DX6 is great. I guess it could be considered a quad band. Well, you can't change it on 6 now, can you? I know you can do UHF at 2 meters, 440, and 220 at less power. I believe a lot and a half, which I didn't program in yet. I programmed a lot of 2 meters, 440 repeaters and some public service to listen to, but I still have to get some 220 repeaters. I don't even know this. I probably should read the manual, but... Do you have bandwidth with the VX6? Can you transmit on 6 meters, or is it just receive only?
6 and 900, and, oh, by the way, 1200 are receive only. It receives on 1200, too, if I remember. I think the radio goes to 1300 megs. I'm just drawing a blank off the top of my head, but I think that's where it goes. But it transmits on 2 to 2440.
Okay, QSL. Yeah. So the next thing for me to do is to search for some good 220 repeaters in the area. I don't know if there's any good in the Bergen. I don't know if there's any Westchester either. I know of one. I do know of one in Valhalla. I think there might be one in Yonkers, too. What about over in Bergen County as far as 220 repeaters? Are there really good wide coverage ones, or...
Yeah, there's actually a couple of them. There's one in along Route 3, which the K2EE machine, if I remember right. I think that's the call sign they're using. And then there's the Clifton OEM repeater. There's a couple others. I mean, there's no lack of 220 activity and repeaters. In fact, that's one of the things that I find annoying about my current state of affairs here is that I'm right now running around, I'm in my wife's car right this minute, but when I drive my own vehicle right now, I'm driving around a Corolla that I'm intentionally not overdoing with ham radio because it's going to be my son's car. Not that he's not a ham, it's just, you know, he doesn't need all that Michigan's in there. Although he will have a radio in the car whether he likes it or not. Having said that, I'll be driving something else, and I have to figure out what the something else is, and figure out where I'm going to put the radios, or the control heads, or both, and yada, yada, yada. You know, so there's much to be done.
Oh, wait a minute. So your wife's a ham, your son's a ham, you're a ham. Oh, that's awesome. Wow. That's really cool. Like the whole family. I love to. My wife is interested somewhat in ham radio. She goes, let's see. When I talk to people, especially like DX come in, and, you know, if a repeater's linked up to 10 meters, and I talk to somebody halfway across the country or in another country, she says, wow, that's really cool with that little radio. So I might be able to influence her to take a test.
Well, let me come clean here. My wife and I are both hams. All three of our sons are hams. We don't have any daughters. Otherwise, they would be hams, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Maybe 2 VD Wi-Fi D. That really is cool. That's great. I tried with my nephew. He's 18 now, and he's going off to college, so he's got other things going on. He's going off to culinary school up at Hyde Park. So I'm really proud of him. Yeah, it's not really going to be a problem. I'll answer, you know, schooling and girls and everything else. He likes sports, so that's...